Good morning and welcome to ASI Radio, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lygos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We have a newbie in the studio today, Dan Walsh, staff writer. Welcome, Dan. How does it feel to be on your first ASI Radio show?
It feels way over my head.
Yes, right. Dan actually has had some radio experience, which
is
more than I can say for the rest of us. Andy Cohn, where are you?
2 years, Melinda. 2 years of radio experience.
Hello, Andy Cohn, are you there?
You bet I am. I'm in Tuckahoe, New York.
Andy Cohn is calling from his home office in Tuckahoe. How's the weather in Tuckahoe today?
Hot.
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 Same as Trevos. And we also have a nice picture of you here for your fans. So.
Oh, well, that's important. Hopefully it does some dancing.
You're even wearing headphones.
Oh, Joe has to horn in.
And, of course, Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor, is in the house. Joe, you just got back from vacation. Where were you?
The Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Well, welcome back. Thanks. We missed you and your rants.
I'm sure you
Kathy Houston, editor of Advantages, is here. Kathy, you're going on vacation soon.
Yeah.
Where are you headed?
Where you're headed.
Ocean City, Maryland.
Ocean City, Maryland.
Well,
you're going there this weekend.
I am, and I'm very excited about it. We have Steve Hawk, who's manning the tech booth. He's going to be full of sound effects this morning. Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls. Call us this morning at 215-953-4979. We're going to want to hear today about how to deal with losing contact or a client. If you have any challenges in that area, give us a call, 215-953-4979. And if we put you on the air, Joe, what will we give you?
Well, we gave out the Maserati last week, right? So we're back to the $25 Visa gift card. Kathy looks at me with disdain.
Well, give us,
as always,
start dialing up now. And Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, Melinda, in addition to the phone call, remember, everyone can always send their question via email to radio@asicentral.com. Also on tap, Andy's going to talk about the best places to work feature coming up in September. Counselor Andy?
You bet.
All right. We have 7 steps to diffuse workplace tension, and Kathy and I are in therapy sessions together right now for that. You know, we just came off of some tough, economy the last couple of years.
Some tough economy.
Some tough economy. It's been a tough economy.
Things are
still
picking
on vacation.
Up, though.
Yes, they are picking up. So how do you handle a spike in sales? We're going to look at that because it might not necessarily be a good thing. We also have 4 top reasons people unsubscribe to your email. So, you know, we're going to tell you what's going on there. We have 5 signs it's time to fire your client. Some other topics, but we're going to start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with earnings season in the ad specialty market. Second quarter financials are out for the industry's public companies, and the news is quite good. Rota Brothers, the industry's second largest supplier, announced that its revenues increased 19% in the second quarter when compared to the same period in 2009. With revenues in the quarter of $212 million, the company reported net profit of $6 million. British-based 4imprint reported an 18% increase in revenue in the second quarter over 2009, along with a more than 20% increase for its North American division. Plus, top 40 distributor Innerworkings said its revenues rose more than 20% in the second quarter of 2010. And in its filing, the company says it foresees future growth opportunities for the remainder of 2010. Finally, this morning, Proforma announced that $4 million distributor GamePlans, Inc. has joined the Proforma network. This is the second multi-million dollar distributor to join Proforma in the past week. And, of course, don't forget to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are you featuring today?
Andy, I still have new products in my inbox, so we have more new products today. Some
Your
great
inbox
stuff.
Floweth over.
It is.
Well, thank you, Andy. There's some optimistic news this morning.
So. You bet. Second quarter numbers are fantastic, actually.
Keep it up, Andy. Keep up the good work.
I'll do what I can.
All right. We're going to start taking calls now at 215-953-4979. If you have questions on how to deal with losing a contact or a client or any challenges that you want to share with us this morning, give us a call and we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card if we put you on the air. On line 2 this morning, we have Kathy. Good morning, Kathy.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Kathy, what's your question for us?
Well, it's kind of a two-parter, but I have one big client and I have 5 contacts in different departments there. So I lost one guy and he bought so much from me and I really just don't want to lose those sales. So my first question is, how do I go about getting in with a new person? And then secondly, do you think I should just introduce myself or should I get a referral from my other contacts there with the client?
I would go with the referrals. If you're already working with people in the company, they can kind of back you up with what you have to say. Also come in with some case studies of stuff that you've done for that previous contact. So it's more of a warm call rather than a cold call.
Mm-hmm. Andy, this is a topic you've covered a lot in counselor's cold case files section. What do you recommend for Kathy?
Yeah, I mean, when, like Joe said, when you can work a referral, you want to try to do that. If somebody has moved on and you're trying to, you know, keep that business going, the key is to, sort of like Joe said, in the sense, show exactly what you've done for that company. You know, make it clear the kind of returns that you've done for the kind of programs that you've run and the types of returns that that they've brought to the company. Basically, you just got to show them rather than telling them. It's sort of the show don't tell type of sales strategy. You know, show them how you've helped their business in the past.
And Kathy, I think you're actually in a much better position than a lot of people because you still have several contacts at the company. So good for you for getting in with more than just one person already. Yep. That's
and they can be your advocates too.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to go after your former contact at their new company.
Yeah, could be another prospect for you somewhere else.
Right.
Well, good luck and thanks. Hold on the line for your Visa gift card. And we're going to go to line three where we have Michelle.
Hello.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for us this morning?
Yeah. I'm concerned about that I might be losing my best client because my contact left there and I don't know where she went. And I was just calling to see if you had any ideas how I could find her and what I could do about, you know, creating a new relationship with her replacement.
Ooh. Check on LinkedIn.
Ah, good
yeah.
idea.
To see where her new position is and contact her that way.
Okay.
But I think you're really going to want to work quickly to mm-hmm. recapture the business from right. that company as well.
Right. Well, like Joe said, referrals are the best way to go according to Counselor's State of the Industry. That's how most distributors
the
get their new business.
The number one strategy for new business, not
that's
cold calling,
but
referrals.
That's, I think, 67%. Right.
Yeah.
Andy, any other suggestions for Michelle?
You know, I would try to, in some ways, I would forget about that other person and try to identify whoever the new person is that's going to be buying promotional items mm-hmm. at your client company. Uh-huh. Like Melinda said, you got to work quickly, you know, mm-hmm. and that new person may have distributor contacts.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're, you know, proving your worth to that company and showing them exactly what you've done in the past for them, okay. Like we talked about with the last caller. But I would say the first thing you want to do is not necessarily worry about where that previous person went, but more focus on identifying who the new person is who's going to be doing the buying.
As for the old person, I would use Google. I would use all the other social networking sites. Also, you can kind of gear up for one that might happen, where they might go to a different company by exchanging cell phone numbers and stuff. So you have her personal contact or his personal contact information. In case there's a change of employment, you're still able to contact them. So if you can keep a friendly relationship with them throughout your whole business experience, mm-hmm. you know, there's a chance that you can contact them or they're going to contact you once they land at a new company.
And in terms of doing business with the company, Kath, how many contacts should you have with, you know, within a company to keep this from happening? I mean, I think you don't want to pin all your...
Well, no, like that previous caller said, she had five contacts in the same company. Definitely. I mean, look to human resources, look to sales for their incentive programs, look to the safety, you know, security people at the company for safety programs. Think of all your avenues in one company.
And marketing, of course.
Of marketing, yeah.
Well, Michelle, we hope that gives you some ideas.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling today and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to go to a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Andy's going to talk about some of the best places to work in the industry.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI Radio. You can still give us a call today and tell us what's on your mind at 215-953-4979. But first, Andy Cohen. Counselor Magazine has identified the 75 top places to work in the industry. Is that right?
That's right. We have our Best Places to Work in, issue coming out in September, and we're putting the finishing touches on it right now. And it does indeed name the top 75 workplaces in the market.
And how do we determine that?
Well, it's a large survey process. It actually starts in February and March, And companies basically send out surveys to their employees, and employees fill out surveys about their companies and about their managers and about their experience at their place of work. And we have a research company that administers the survey for us. Their name is Quantum Workplace, and they do these best places to work surveys in multiple cities across the country. So they have a lot of experience in analyzing these surveys, and then they come back to us with a list of scores, basically.
Now, I know the issue doesn't come out till September. Can you give us a hint as to who's on the list, or tell us some of the common denominators of the most successful companies?
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the hint because
oh, come on, Andy.
But there are some themes that are pretty interesting about these 75 companies. There's a few themes that we identified. You know, we talked to pretty much all of them and asked them why they think they're a great place to work, and there are a few things that that really pop up almost across the board. The first one is that, you know, last year everybody had to figure out ways to motivate their employees during a downturn. So there were some really interesting strategies that companies came up with. One company, distributor, you know, knew that they had to cut costs, so they went to all their employees and basically laid out two choices and had a vote on it. The choices were either letting one person go because they had to basically cut staff costs, or each person at the company could take 2 days of unpaid 2 days unpaid each month, and that's what they chose. Everybody chose that, and it turned out that that sales didn't go down as much as they expected, and it actually went up by the end of the year, and everybody was back on full pay. So it's just an interesting way of getting all people involved. But motivating in a downturn was a huge theme. Another theme was the importance of fun. All these companies figure out ways to incorporate fun into their businesses, and it really is some unique ways. One company had this family feud throughout the whole year where they split up all the employees into two teams, and basically each team was tasked with trying to find the best ways to build their business, to build the company's business, and they had little battles throughout the year, and there was this like family feud atmosphere. They put signs up about it all year long, and it was just this kind of fun sort of tournament that they had all year long. And really that theme shows up throughout most of the companies on this list. And the last theme that I just wanted to highlight, which I think is pretty interesting, is the importance of food. It seems like companies really try to motivate and gain the loyalty of workers through giving them food, basically. One company provides Starbucks coffee and bottled water for all of its employees, as well as bagels every Monday. A lot of companies provide breakfast once a week. One company has a Cookie Thursday where fresh baked cookies are
cookie
made every
Thursday.
Thursday afternoon. I know you would like Cookie Thursday, Melinda.
I would like that.
And then, of course, for the rest of us, we would like the few companies that offer happy hours at work on Friday afternoons.
We tried to institute that here, but it didn't go over well with HR.
Yeah, well, these companies don't care about that.
Every hour's happy at ASI. Well, it's funny that you mentioned food, because we're having lunch brought in for the editorial team today.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
I forgot about that.
Because to congratulate everyone for winning 14 awards from the American Business Publication. Wow, thank you, Steve. American Society of Business Publication Editors. So congratulations to all of you. And I guess we're doing something right, if food is important.
You bet, yeah. And I would encourage that everybody take a look at these companies in the September issue of Counselor, because there are some great ideas on how to create a great workplace.
We also have fun here, too. We had the karaoke party.
And the field day.
And yes, we had ASI had field day last month. And Andy, I believe that you did fairly well. Was it the egg toss?
No, it was the water balloon
toss.
The
water balloon toss.
And Dave Vagnoni got a bronze medal in.
Yes.
That's the best you could do.
Yeah, that's the best I do. Yeah,
says the woman who didn't show up for field day.
I have no sneakers.
She really doesn't. All right, thank you so much, Andy. We'll look forward to that in Counselor in September. Here's the opposite of a best place to work, a workplace that has tension. And Kathy's got some 7 steps, I guess, today to reduce workplace tension.
Well, you know, Melinda, as a boss, you know, every once in a while you're going to have employees that have a little bit of tension between them. And the best
Not in our workplace.
Never. The best thing you could do is address it directly. Bring all the parties together and allow them to share their version of the event, because this often elicits issues that the other person was unaware of.
It also exposes someone if they say, oh, well,
exactly,
he did this and she did that, and then you get them in a room together.
And the truth comes out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Find common ground. This is very important because often each side has some concern the other party can agree with, and this becomes a foundation that enables you to bridge the gap that separates the parties involved. Also, be positive. You're very good at this. Resolve to address future conflicts in a positive manner, and you can all work together to make a productive outcome for both of the parties involved, or all the parties involved.
Gotcha. Well, now, mm-hmm. Dan, you've worked in a newsroom for many years. There's a lot of tension in there with daily deadlines and such.
Sure.
Any strategies you've picked up along the way? Or have you ever been in a place with a lot of tension?
Sure. Every single newspaper had it. And the best way to diffuse it is to leave.
Leave? You just walked out the door.
There's just nothing to do. It's not going to happen. Forget it.
So just cool off.
Well, the newspapers are places that are known for flasks and desks, cursing editors.
I thought the flasks have gone away. They're still there?
No, they're just better hidden.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, one of the things you find is it's more of a blunt and plain-spoken workplace than a lot of places. So the tension that is often there often comes to the surface, and either it gets resolved through the old cathartic drag-out, yell-out, scream-out fight, or it just kind of stays there. I mean, but one of the things you do find, I mean, I'm exaggerating to a degree, but I'm exaggerating for effect. One of the things you find is when you talk about things, you bring to the surface. It gets out of the way. You either move past it or you accept it. Hey, it's just going to be there. But if you can move past it half the time, you're ahead of the game.
Right. Yeah. That was the number one tip. Address it directly.
Well, then you just hit it on the head, Kathy.
Here. That's right.
I remember I worked in a newsroom several years ago, and there was a lot of tension because some people, you know, dealt with deadlines better than others. I remember one guy, whenever he would get stressed, he would bite his fist and pace back and forth right in the middle of the office, and then people would get annoyed and, yeah, yada, yada, yada.
Poor guy. Did he get help?
I hope he's not a news reporter.
He's missing a few fingers now.
Yeah, that probably didn't help him make the deadline, the pacing thing.
Yeah.
This blood-spattered manuscript.
Some people have trouble with the stress. Anyway, thank you, Kathy. All right, Joe, here's a good problem to have,
yes.
I would think. A spike in sales. A lot of people, Annie just gave us our second quarter results. A lot of people are seeing an increase in sales. I guess some people aren't prepared for it. Is that what you're going to tell me?
That's exactly what we're going to tell you. Some people had some struggles with sales the last couple of years, and now there's this surge, and it's not necessarily a good thing because companies have laid off staff and they've cut budgets.
Well, it's a good thing if you're prepared.
Yeah, so a lot of companies aren't prepared. So what do you do? There's 9 tips here. I'm going to give you 3 of them. First one, cross-train rather than add overhead. So in other words, everyone should learn how to do someone else's job. So therefore, because this spike could just be temporary too. It could just be a one-time thing for a few months, for 1 month, for half a year, whatever it is. So if you add that overhead, then you're back to having to lay those people off again. So if you cross-train, you'll be better served when this time comes. And if the spike stays up high, then you can look at hiring more overhead. Give joint incentives to sales and any other part of the operation. So what happens is sales has their commissions. Sales gets incentives. They are bringing in the sales. But it's people in the back office for distributors who are going through ESP, who are placing the orders, who are following the orders mm-hmm. through, who are following up with the clients. So they're also key to the success of that client distributor relationship. So don't forget about them. On the supplier side, it would be the people who are working in the warehouse. If you get this huge, huge order where the other people in the plant and you've got to imprint this stuff and put on extra shifts or make people work overtime, well, they're crucial to the success of that sales too. So don't forget them in incentive plans. The last thing I'll tell you is prioritize your new orders, because this surge, it might be a one-time big order. Don't forget about your longtime clients who purchase with you for years, who purchase a good amount of products. Don't forget about them to take all your attention and put it on this new spike of sales, because, again, that could be temporary. These people have been with you for a long time. So, you know, try to work with each group. Try to work with the people who are just new to your company while also spending as much attention as you need to with your established clients.
All right, good tip.
Okay, the rest of these will be posted on our website.
All right, check it out at asicentral.com/radio. Andy, a lot of distributors and suppliers are sending out all kinds of emails to clients these days with special deals, e-newsletters, videos, things like that. But sometimes people unsubscribe. How do you minimize that?
Yeah, email marketing has obviously picked up in popularity, but you know, the unsubscribe note that everybody gets back certainly is something that people are getting used to. And here's a few reasons why people are unsubscribing. The first two are kind of linked. They're essentially opposites, but one is that they've basically forgotten that they've subscribed, and the second is that you're sending too many emails, so they're annoyed at you. So you need to find a balance between too many emails and too few. If people have forgotten that they've subscribed, it means you're not sending your email newsletter or your promotions out with enough regularity. And if you're sending many multiple emails a week to the same lists, then that's too many. So you have to be aware of those two things. The other two elements are, the first is that your content is just not relevant enough. You really need to ask yourself, if I was receiving this, would it be something I would want to open? Would it be something that I would get value out of? Always ask yourself when you're putting an email promotion or newsletter together, am I giving value to the recipient? Make sure that there's some important information there that they can use in their job. And lastly, your subscribers simply don't know who the email is from. You need to test not only subject lines, but sender lines. People who receive emails should recognize the sender. That's probably the first thing that they look at when they see an email, who's sending it to them. So use the most common name or most recognizable name at your company or a product that they might recognize. Use things that in that from area that you know that people will recognize.
I have a few things here. One is I've been getting an email newsletter for about 5 or 6 years, and it's in a foreign language, and I don't know where the opt-out option is. But Andy,
you're really tech savvy.
Yeah, I am. Is there such thing as an opt-in where you send maybe a few of them, and then you ask your clients to receive it? If you want to continue this, please opt in, because I know that you have to have that opt-out function.
Yeah, there's definitely opt-ins. Yeah, and you should be trying to have people opt in as much as you can. That's how you keep up subscriber rates and keep unsubscribe rates low. Anything that you send to people, you can put in your, you could even put in your email signatures, opt in for our newsletter or click here to receive our newsletter. Mm-hmm. You should be trying to opt in as much of your list as possible. That's how you minimize these unsubscribes.
Well, I don't like the sneaky little trick that they're all doing now when they put the RE with the colon in front,
yeah,
as
like
if it's responding to mm-hmm. something,
right.
Or when they put the FW for the forward as if they're forward. It's like, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's just a
it's
marketing.
Phony.
It is. It is phony.
You see through that, Joe. You're
I
good
do.
Like that.
You're too smart for that. Well, on line two, we have Bob. He has a comment about email marketing. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Terrific. I just thought I would throw an oar in the water here on the email situation. I don't know if people realize it, but I'm a distributor, and I get anywhere from 100 to 200 emails per day. And that's a lot to wade through. And I'm just wondering if some of the vendors aren't using multiple lists, because sometimes I get as many as 4 to 8 copies of the same thing. And the most frustrating is if when I click on it, whether I invited the email or not, and I'm subscribed, I click on it, and they don't go anywhere. They don't open up, or they take a long time. If it takes longer than 10 seconds, I'm gone.
Right.
I just don't have the time to handle that. The one that really grinds me the most, though, is there are a few people out there that are saying the first 10 to 100 distributors to respond will send you this kit. I've responded, never got a kit.
Mm.
So, they're the first ones that get bounced off my list, and the rest of them I block. My regular vendors, I love to talk to them, I love to hear from them, and they do a fantastic job. So I don't want everybody to think they're the target of my comment, but enough is enough.
Okay, well, hopefully there's some suppliers out there using that tactic who will take to heart what you're saying. Thanks for calling, Bob, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thanks, I appreciate your comment.
Have a good day.
You know, and an interesting way to go about that maybe is to send everyone one of those smart buttons so that once a month they know that a certain date to hit the smart button, which launches a website that's pre-programmed in the smart button. Bustronic has this product, so does another company. I can't think of the name. But anyway, it offers, it sends the receiver to a certain landing page that only the people have that smart button. So it could get people, really looking at your special offers and stuff instead of that, another email.
Gosh.
So you might have a good offer as a supplier, And someone like Bob is like, it's too much. So he's starting to, you know, block them. This might be another way to get them to look at your offers and some of the things.
Of course,
you
can also tune into Advantage's Hot Deals e-newsletter twice a week and get offers from a whole bunch of suppliers all in one place.
Oh,
how about that for
one fabulous place?
And the other supplier was JM Tech.
Thank
I remembered
you.
It.
Yay.
All right.
The little squirrel woke up and started running on the wheel again. So.
All right. Well, companies rebrand themselves all the time, and now states are doing the same thing. Dan's going to tell us more.
Yeah, well, different states have done it in different ways with different amounts of success. Michigan right now is going with a pure Michigan rebranding in the sense they want to draw people away from the aging, crumbling cities of Michigan. Detroit, obviously, is known as a city that's pretty down on its luck, but Michigan really has a lot of beautiful areas, and they're trying to draw attention to those beautiful areas in the Upper Peninsula along the coastlines of the Great Lakes. And other states have tried to do the same thing too. Arizona, having its difficulties with its immigration controversy, thought about rebranding away from the Grand Canyon State. Of course, there was a minor problem with that. The Grand Canyon is still there. So,
And why don't they want people to be aware? Or they just want to be aware of other things besides the Grand Canyon?
Well, it had less to do with the Grand Canyon than it did with the fact that there is so much controversy about their new law, talking about in terms of how to deal with potential illegal immigrants, and people think it's profiling and so forth. So they've been looking to kind of change the conversation. They decided against it. But there have been other states that have done this. New Jersey's tried to get rid of its bad image.
New Jersey has a bad image. Kathy,
New Jersey doesn't
where you're
stink.
From. And Dan, you're from New Jersey as well, right?
Yeah, I am, but I don't know if I agree with Kathy.
Well, the Jersey Shore, apparently, unfortunately, I think is giving Jersey yet a different interesting image. But I'm sure that that's not the image that New Jersey would like to portray.
Those of us who are actually from New Jersey like to point out that the folks on that show are all from New York.
That's right. And Rhode Island.
Rhode Island.
And Rhode Island.
Now, one girl is from New Jersey.
She's a new one.
Well, she probably doesn't count. I don't know. I haven't really watched it. But Rhode Island is one of those that has also looked to rebrand themselves. Rhode Island is most known for not being known because it's tiny. So they've had all sorts of things. Apparently, the slogan "Lobsters and Mobsters won't be winning," but it was suggested.
That sounds like New Jersey.
Without the lobsters,
right?
this is also something that people are looking at states that have succeeded at this. And try to emulate them. I love New York. Virginia is for lovers. I guess if you put love in the title, you're going
Maryland
to get somewhere.
Maryland is for crabs. I've seen that.
You know
that's
what?
A bumper
I'm
sticker.
Staying out.
They have wonderful
I got crabs,
crabs
in Maryland.
Okay, so go on. Sorry.
You know what? After that, I don't think there's anywhere to go. Crabs in Maryland. Joe loves crabs.
But the point of this, too, for distributors, is that a lot of these states are hiring branding consultants.
And they
and
are spending big
exactly,
money to brand themselves.
You know, on the bumper stickers, the magnets, the pins, yada, yada.
Absolutely. And it's not just for tourism, but a lot of chambers and commerces are trying to get businesses to move to the
Philadelphia
area.
Too. They did a big push
couple
years back.
Yeah, the Brotherly Love.
Right.
Promotion.
The city that never sleeps. No, that's
the,
not.
Stay over night.
Yeah, stay over
like
night in their
more
pajamas.
Fun when you stay over. That's right,
exactly.
And Oprah even was involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So distributors should check out their local and state governments because there may be some great opportunities there.
Definitely.
And Dan, we'll put this article up on the website, right, so people can find out more about states that are promoting themselves. All right. Here's something interesting from Andy Cohn. What's the deal with Jose Cuervo and mustaches?
Well, we like to highlight some unique, let's say, promotional campaigns on this show. So here's one that definitely classifies in that area. Jose Cuervo, to try to celebrate Mexico's bicentennial, has come up with this promotion where they're getting people in Mexico, I guess men, obviously, in Mexico to...
Women can't do it if
you
they,
never know.
Well, I
their
guess
hair?
If you're capable of growing a mustache, then yes, absolutely women can do it.
Okay.
Probably some qualify, I guess. But they're asking people to grow the biggest mustache they can grow and then upload a picture to a website where people can vote on the best mustache. And the winners are actually going to be getting a trip from Jose Cuervo to their bicentennial bash, which is happening later this year in September. They're making just a big sort of noise with this whole mustache campaign. And the idea was to represent a sort of iconic national symbol, the Macho Man mustache sported by Pancho Villa, of course. There's many Mexicans right now that are growing mustaches and uploading pictures to a website to try to win this trip.
Now, does Joe qualify? Because he always comes back from vacation with a goatee.
Well, I think let's just take a picture and upload it to the website, and we'll see what we can do. We'll try to stuff the ballot by voting for Joe.
Well, actually, Wawa is the convenience store in on the East Coast area, and they have a promotion every summer called the Wawa Hoogie Fest. This year, they're having people upload pictures of themselves looking like the Wawa Hoogie Fest guy, who's very similar looking to John Lennon from Yellow Submarine cartoon. So there's a lot of pictures up there, some really bad ones.
A lot of fun summer promotions going on. All right. Thank you, Andy. Well, we have just enough time for Joe to get something off his chest. Joe, I can't imagine you'd be angry about anything after just returning from vacation.
No, actually, this could be the anti-rant, although there was some guy who really made me angry. I held a door for him at a pizza place. He's on a cell phone.
And he didn't say thank you.
He didn't say thank you. And then I come out. His car's parked on an angle, so the 16-year-old who was driving us to the pizza place had a difficult time getting out. Just pull into the spot, pal. Anyway, I want to talk about the realtor we used down in North Carolina.
They had a deodorant?
Realtor.
Okay, sorry.
We checked in, we've got a lot of branded product from them. One was a non-woven polypropylene bag for grocery shopping, so their logo was seen in the grocery store when we went shopping, so we didn't have to get the plastic bags. They also gave us some plastic drinking cups, which are okay, but they gave us those little rubber silicone wristbands that had their logo on it, looked like the Hatteras Lighthouse, and they said, anyone seen on the beach wearing these by our crew that's out there, you know, walking up and down the beach would win more imprinted prizes. We didn't win any. We saw a lot of people wearing those same things.
Cool.
So it was a great way to brand the realtor, and I thought it was a great idea.
Yeah,
so anyone in a tourist area where they rent cottages and they rent houses, whether it's in the mountain, the shore points, or wherever they do it, talk to those people that handle the rentals, those realtors, with this great idea of how they can increase their exposure. So,
well, there you have it. A happy rant this morning from Joe Haley.
Oh,
thank you,
God.
Joe.
Except for that guy that didn't say thank you.
We are out of time today. Thanks for tuning in to ASI Radio, and thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Be sure to tune in next time. Excuse me.
Next time.
Next week. Same time when we'll be talking more about how promo products are being used on vacation.
Happy birthday, Nigel Haley.
Happy birthday, Nigel Haley. Have
16.
A great week.